Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh.
Well, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead End Sports.
This is the place where sports beings collide. Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Got FIFO here.
Yes, sir. 24/7, all day, every day.
Mr. Disrespect from the No Disrespect Podcast, Frames Per Second.
Just had a disrespectful conversation,
I guess. Yeah, for real. I got it all recorded, so I don't know what I'm gonna do with it because it's like raw audio, so it's just like the room. But I may put it somewhere on the website or something like that. But anyway, it's been an interesting day when it comes to recording. So we got a lot of extra content that we can use. But we're actually here today with this episode because we kind of taking a break like we normally do.
It hasn't been a big break.
We haven't had a chance to. So much crazy stuff happening. So maybe this would be the last thing to happen. You don't think so?
Nah.
What else could happen?
I think this is the last thing that, like, the biggest.
CP is going to get traded.
Yeah, but do we have to do an emergency podcast for that?
Because he already got traded. So that was the big thing.
Yeah, but I think where he lands is definitely going to be interesting.
I mean, he's going to be in Miami.
That's not guaranteed, Nick.
Well, I'll talk about it one day, and I'll just record us talking. But I don't think it'll be anything that. You know, we have to come together. But what happened with Russell Westbrook?
That was huge.
And then we don't have your take on the Kawhi Leonard situation, so we'll get that. This is going to be a short show because everybody's running tight. But before we get into that, just upfront programming announcement. We're going to be taking a break, and we'll be back towards football season. So a couple of weeks in July, a couple of weeks in August. So I'll be uploading or sharing some other podcasts from some other sports shows on the network here and there for those of you out there that will be looking for new content. But let's just jump into it, man. First, that's not bare to leave, man. Russell Westbrook traded to the Rockets for CP3.
Yo, that was a – I did not expect the Rockets to make a move like this. I know they were trying to make moves all offseason, since they got bounced out of the playoffs. But for them to flip CP for Russell Westbrook is like, man, it says two things. One, that's how bad CP3 has gotten in Houston. And two, that's how bad OKC just wants to start this rebuild.
They got no choice.
Fuck it. We throwing everybody out.
Well, I think that the PG requested trade kind of gave them an out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they didn't have to. Right, like you have both of your star players under contract for multiple years. The organization had leverage. So by Sam Presti and OKC deciding to even trade Paul George just means that they didn't have belief. You know what I'm saying? And I think I keep telling y'all in the text thread, like, it makes sense. Why doesn't it not make sense? We know, we've seen PG and Russell Westbrook for two straight years. First year had Carmelo Anthony attached. Carmelo bounced, right? Mm-hmm. PG came back with an MVP year. And what happened in the playoffs? They got bounced in the
same result.
So why are you going to continue to knock your head against the wall?
I mean, when you look at the landscape of the NBA and you look at the two guys you have, you look at Kawhi and Paul George. Well, that was before Paul George. Mm-hmm. When you look at Anthony Davis and LeBron, and then you look at in the East, you look at KD and Kyrie. You got to evaluate yourself. It's like, okay, is PG and Westbrook enough? And they probably made that determined. They clearly made the determination it wasn't.
It wasn't, but it was. But here's the thing. My point is that the determination was made in the playoffs. Nobody, like, you didn't have to come to that term. It was, if you have your eyes wide open and you're looking at the product you put on.
But
that
based
court,
on what factors, though, that combo or the roster?
The roster is as good as the money would allow,
or as the market will allow for that OKC market.
Exactly. The salary cap space, the draft picks that have now, you know, progressed and become the Steven Adams of the world and people like that, they've maxed out what they can do. This is their best bet to win a championship. Mm-hmm. That roster, they couldn't do it. They couldn't get past the first round. So,
and there were no paths to improvement.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because think about it. They don't have any more young talent, right? Last year they brought in Schroeder, right, to help stabilize the point guard position, especially down the stretch. Did it change? No. Things are still the same. So at the end of the day, the PG trade request gave OKC an out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why they don't look like bad guys. That's the reason why nobody's talking about them tanking. You know,
well, no, they do look like some, because it's all about the loyalty things. Like, Russ was willing to commit to you long-term throughout his prime, and you moved him.
But
you're looking at it from business. Your response has to be from business because it's not about.
Because even the perception, like, think about it. That organization gave – OKC knows nothing but superstars and playoff basketball. That's all they know. They don't know hardship. They don't know winning 20 games.
Who doesn't?
OKC.
They were Seattle. That's how they got – how do you think they got
you
them?
Mean, but, wait, but how do they not know hardships?
I'm talking about the actual fan base. I'm talking about the fan
base. They went to the finals and lost.
Yeah, they.
I'm not.
Oh, you're talking about like hardships, like being like the Knicks, like not winning for anything.
The Clippers. Exactly. Yeah. They've had success.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Okay. I got
you. I'm just saying, OKC has had success.
Well, I was saying to get Durant, to get Westbrook, to get Harden, you had to suck. So that's what I was saying. And those are OKC days for the most part.
Those were Seattle days. And they just.
Outside of Durant, they weren't Seattle days. Like, Russ was
with
OKC,
Russ was
and
there,
so was Harden.
So
lost to get that, and then when they – but they ever since they drafted those three guys together, they haven't been
Russ hard. Has only missed the playoffs 2 years in his career. Like, that's crazy. His rookie year, and then the year he got hurt.
And don't be J.J. Redick, though.
What's J.J.?
J.J. Redick, he's never missed playoffs, right? I thought you told me that.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
That might have been B.
Or he must have been missed the playoffs like only like five times or something like that.
No, I thought he's been in the playoffs every year he's been in the NBA.
Yeah, because he got drafted to Orlando, and Orlando
was
good.
I was going to say, the only team I remember him way back is Orlando, and they were in the playoffs a lot because that was Dwight Howard's best days.
Yeah, like he had to find his own. That's the reason why he didn't get a lot of tick. He might not have missed the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that was the weird stat with him. But anyway.
Well, it might have been me. I always come
I think
up with
it
that
was
type
you.
Of stuff.
I think
yeah,
it was
might
you.
Have been me.
Not you that he was contributing.
You're going to take it anyway.
I'll fat check it. But, no, I think, yeah, Paul George gave them the out. And I think they sat down and was like, okay, we're not going to win with this. We don't want this trouble. Let's get rid of him. Now Westbrook was like, all right, I want to be out because you guys are obviously in a rebuild. I'm not here for that. And then they got rid of him, and now they're looking to move CP3 next because they don't want his problems, which it will be problems.
Yeah, and he don't want to be there either.
But it just,
I wouldn't want to be there either. Nah.
Because it's a rebuild. And,
exactly.
And here's the thing. Once they traded Paul George – I don't even feel Westbrook needed to come to management to be like, trade me. I think the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, once
true.
And just from a business perspective, look, man, obviously without PG, we're going to be, you know, bottom feeder. And then let Russ miss any time. We're not even going to make the playoffs. Why am I going
to
pay this man?
And why do I have to work that hard to get us to the playoffs again by myself?
Exactly. Why do I have to work that hard to get bounced out?
From a GM's
perspective, it's like, why are we paying all this money?
Exactly.
Trying to make all these trades. And it's like, you know what? Maybe we just need to start from scratch.
But what were you about to say?
I was going to transition. Cause I say we've been OKC side. Let's talk about Houston side.
Yeah, man.
This is a last hurrah. This is, what is it, Lone Ranger and Tonto, whatever his name is. That's what this is. Because this, for both of their careers, because like I said in the chat, I was like, for both of them, as much as people love Westbrook, as much as people love Harden, as far as watching them, as far as the fans, you get to that point where, in their careers where you'll be like, well, they still haven't brought their team to the promised land as the guy. So with them coming together, with those still those issues still being the same and those being prevalent as far as their careers, legacy-wise, this is their last chance. If they can't do anything as a tandem that gets them, I would say, to the final, I think they have to have finals expectations.
Do you expect that to happen, though?
I don't expect it. The West is – no.
The West is too crazy.
The Clippers?
There's other teams built similarly that right now have more power. Portland.
Because I'm looking at
I think Portland could take out Houston.
Okay.
I agree with that.
So I'm thinking dynamic duo,
I think Utah could take out Houston. Houston is not as –
Whose fault? Because of D'Antoni?
No, it's just that
like, he's a part of it, though.
But you, like Utah is deeper, right? I think Portland is deeper.
They already got chemistry, right?
So I think those two teams. Obviously, the Lakers should be healthy, right? Mm-hmm. With LeBron, that's more than like. There's just a lot of teams that can beat Houston. Houston's not the clear-cut second best.
Denver
team.
Too,
and Denver.
CP3 is a different animal. Westbrook is a different animal than CP3.
He can't shoot as good. But he's an older animal too, because them knee surgeries.
CP3 was yes,
no, but Westbrook is too. His knee surgery's gonna add
up.
Yeah,
but man,
and he's been playing 82 games with the last three seasons.
But dealing with CP3 is a lot easier than dealing with Westbrook. CP3 and Harden versus Westbrook and Harden.
That's we don't know that because they were teammates and they still texted.
But they weren't teammates
They're not as talented as they were when they were teammates now. But at the same time, that foundation of we both got drafted to the same team, we both went to the finals. Our first deep playoff runs were together. So we got some camaraderie.
They play off of each other. Look, I'm not saying that the fit is the most perfect fit, but that's the reason why I tagged y'all on that IG post, because the way Westbrook's gonna have to change his game, obviously he's gonna play more off the ball. Like, bro, you playing with James Harden, bro. Like,
he's already proven. Cowherd said Harden is the better version of Westbrook.
Yeah, and like you just have to. So when he plays off the ball, instead of Russ just waiting, D'Antoni would be a smart man to have Russ cutting through the lane, right? It's going to be different. It's going to be different. And talking about Cowherd, I think Cowherd explained this scenario the best. He says, look at OKC and Houston as two sinking ships. Right. OKC said, you know what? We're going to take the insurance money. We're going to fix, fuck this boat. We're going to go ahead and get a new boat with the insurance money. We got all these draft picks. That's the new boat. Houston's like, yo, this boat, nice. We like the engine, James Harden. We just going to repair this thing. We just going to keep chugging. But they're both sinking. But who has the right approach to making it to their destination?
We'll find out because I think in terms of acquiring assets to flip them and hopefully draft the right talent.
Yeah, because first of all, they're not drafting all them damn picks.
No, that's number one. They're not.
True.
Like a lot of that is going to be you, like Philly did, right? Like you got your guys, and then now when it's win now in that first trade 3 to 5, you start trading these picks because you got your guys.
But this trade offseason is really a gift and curse of Kawhi Leonard. As far as not him going to the Clippers, but him going to Toronto winning a championship. I think everybody realized, like, oh, we can take a gamble now on a superstar and see and roll the dice because it worked out for Toronto. I think that's the same thing, reason why Daryl Morey and them are doing this with Westbrook. It's like, shit, it worked out in Toronto when nobody expected the Raptors to go that far and they had a bad history in the playoffs.
But let's try to do this way. But this is not new, though, because think about this. CP was traded in his last year. Like, he had a player option. He had a plus one, and he agreed to opt in when he got traded from New Orleans to the Clippers, right? PG was also a gamble. Like, gambles happen.
No, but this is the last hurrah gamble, just like what it was for last year with Toronto. It was like, after this, if it works or not, we're going to blow up the team. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same way with Houston. I think if it works
what you're saying is, if Houston does not make the finals,
they're going to blow it up.
So James Harden getting traded.
James Harden is going to get traded.
So you just a year after what I was saying.
And Westbrook will become the guy for that franchise?
No, everybody's gone. You start from scratch.
I think they really like James Harden.
I don't think they like him. I think they like him. I don't think they love him.
I think they blame D'Antoni. Yeah. Well, they have a new owner, so I don't know.
Yeah, and here's that's the thing. That's subject to change. D'Antoni's going to be the first fire.
Yeah, he's gone. Because,
look, they already fired his staff, too.
Exactly.
Didn't he?
He's on very thin ice. I don't even know if you could call it ice. That man's swimming. He's not even standing on nothing.
I think it's interesting. Like, I think they're. Because when I first looked at it, I was like, how's that going to work? But I think the your turn, my turn works well for them because they both. Are a solo act, so they.
But if that only works if it's it only works if two people are willing to give up, like to give up a turn.
But we've seen that though. We've seen him do. We've seen Westbrook do that.
Since when?
We saw him do it last year with Paul George.
That first three quarters of the season before Paul George got hurt toward the end. Westbrook definitely deferred.
And he's played with KD, so he's used to the dynamic duo, the Batman-Robin.
But his shot selection still doesn't say that, though.
But here's the thing, though. His shot selection is obviously going to be different in D'Antoni's system because they're going to play at an even faster pace. Think about it. They've been a top three tempo team since CP's been there, since James Harden really has been there. But they're going to be even faster because you're talking about the best rebounding guard in the NBA, and then you have arguably the second best rebounding guard in the NBA because James Harden averages 5-6 rebounds a game. Mm-hmm. There's not many two guards or even point guards that average that many. So you're talking about almost close to 20 rebounds from your guards. What does that mean? That means that you're getting the ball and you're pushing, and you're talking about arguably the fastest player with the ball. That, you know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, there's other guys, there's some fresh blood that can try to make that claim. But between James Harden and Russell Westbrook, they're going to create so many fast break opportunity points. It's going to be crazy.
And think about CP3. Part of the reason why he wanted out is because he didn't like the philosophy. He didn't like the playing style. Mm-hmm. He wanted more ball movement, and they weren't doing that. It was like, you get the ball, you attack. Yeah, so, but Westbrook, he's totally fine with that.
Yep.
So,
drive and kick.
Yeah.
That's his game.
Because he got to get them 10 assists.
Whatever, but so I think after thinking about it, I said, oh, this actually could work because this is what they want to do. They want to be the alphas, and they're okay with being alpha A and alpha B.
Like I said in the chat, it would only work if they got a different coach that they mutually respect, and I don't think they mutually respect D'Antoni.
We don't know about Westbrook yet.
No, I already know that he definitely don't respect him.
D'Antoni is wet toilet paper, bro. That's just what it is.
Kay? I mean, he's soft. Let's not sugarcoat it.
Like, let's not sugarcoat it no more.
I won't dial this.
I was saying, there's no nice way to say soft.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it is what it is. But here's the thing, though. D'Antoni's going to have another D'Antoni season. He's going to have a good record. He's going to finish top three. He's going to have one of these two guys, if not both, in the MVP race.
In this West? In this year's West?
What's going to happen is they're going to lose in the first or second round of the playoffs. And he's going to be the guy that's going to go. Now, I agree, per the chat, maybe Mark Jackson. You know, they definitely got to get some different blood because D'Antoni, no matter where he goes, if he has his guys that can play his system, he's going to win games. He's going to win games. He's going to get to the playoffs. He's a really good coach. He's not a championship coach.
Or is D'Antoni like an older Brad Stevens?
No.
Whereas, like, you said he has to get his guys. No, I don't like coaches where you say, oh, he has to get his. If you're a good coach, you can coach anybody.
No, here's the thing. Brad Stevens just don't know how to deal with egos.
Neither does D'Antoni. D'Antoni got pushed around in Houston between Harden and Chris Paul.
But what I'm saying is when it comes to X's and O's, right, like D'Antoni needs –
just like Brad Stevens is good at X's and O's.
Brad Stevens could play anybody. The ego is not X's and O's. D'Antoni has a certain X and O type of player that he needs to be successful. I believe Brad Stevens could be successful with anybody. It's the ego. It's something outside of the court, outside of the skill set, outside of you being a perennial all-star that he has to deal with, that he has to learn how to deal with. But in terms of X's and O's, he's just like Pop. It don't matter who you give him, he's going to get you to the playoffs. We're going to be all right. And I'm not saying that you could give him, you know, like everybody that averaged 12, 13 points a game. No, you got to give me a guy that can't get some buckets. Some talent. Yeah, everybody needs talent, right? It's a player's league, but it don't matter who. The collection of talent you give Brad Stevens, he's going to get those guys to play good. It may not be the most perfect, but come on, man. D'Antoni's fault is that he cannot adapt. There's a fixed system that does not work in the playoffs because in the playoffs, you can't play that 7 seconds or less crap. It just – the game slows down. It just does because the possession is so much more valuable.
How does this help the Rockets when, like, do you think they reasonably think that they can beat the Lakers or the Clippers with the two of them?
Well, the one thing I did like about this trade, they didn't have to give up Eric Gordon. They didn't have to give up PJ Tucker. They still got Clint Capella. They still have, like, they still have the majority of their roster that they had last year. They just literally, again, they just flipped CP for Russ. And I like that as a trade. Now, in reality, that's where I have questions. That's where I have questions about the coach. That's where I have questions about the chemistry as far as if it is a you do this way and I, like, you go left, I go right, and we share it. It sounds good in theory. Again, these are all theoretically, they sound good, but when you see it happen.
But you know, let me ask you something. Is Russell Westbrook better than CP?
Is he better?
Yeah.
Yes.
So why is this team not going to be better when you just said that every single person is coming back?
Because he doesn't shoot at – he's better as an overall player. But in where they needed help and assistance, he's not great at. His shooting, his free throw percentage has dropped drastically throughout the last couple seasons.
No, the free throw thing, I want to believe that's an anomaly because the man's been 80% his
whole
career.
I think that was an injury.
You know, I
but then
I
don't, we don't know. Then we don't know what kind of injury he has.
Yeah, we don't know. But I don't want to speculate. I'm gonna go based off of past history. His past history. He's 80%. So I believe that. Unless he comes out this year and starts shooting 50-60%, then that's different. But as of right now, to me, before he even shoots
you think he's going back to 80?
I think so.
Okay.
What does he do better than CP?
He's more athletic. He's a pace pusher, and he gets his guys more involved than CP.
That athleticism, what does he do?
He creates space.
How does he create space?
Because when he penetrates, he can kick out real easy.
Well, that's not creating space. That you're drawing defenders to you.
Yeah, right. I consider that creating space. If you're able to take people and move them in an area that opens up another person, you create space.
Okay, so what can't CP do anymore?
CP can't stay healthy for one, and CP can't. I don't think he's as clutch as he used to be.
He can't get to the rim.
That's the key.
Meaning he can't get his own shot. That's my.
He could get his own shot because he has skill. He got step backs.
Can he get his own shot?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, bro. I'm old as hell.
It's just changed over the years.
It's just changed. Yeah. You can't turn the corner on guys.
But that was his best thing because he's a small guy.
But my point to you is, right, like I said, why is Houston not going to be better? Because you said that they needed assistance with shooting. No, the shooting's down. Gerald Green, Eric Gordon, James Harden.
But those are not the guys you count on at the end of the game to shoot the shot.
What do you mean? How did Jordan win a lot of his championships?
Steve Kerr, Patson.
How did LeBron win a lot of his
BJ
championships?
Armstrong.
In comparison to how many shots Jordan took to the rest of them, it's not the same.
No,
you're not depending on them.
But what I'm saying, but you're depending on them in clutch moments because we already know you're going to double team me. We already know you got to go play Scotty.
You're depending on them for clutch plays. You hope that they get a good deflection. You hope they get a good steal. You hope they get a good rebound. You know, stuff like that. You're not hoping. I'm not counting on Gerald Green to make the game-winning shot most of the time of the game.
Most of the time. I'm not saying
I'm saying
you're skewing what I'm
saying. No. I'm saying most of the time the ball is going to be between Russ and Harden. And as far as shooting wise, I don't trust the Russ Harden combo like I would trust the Chris Paul and Harden.
Look. If you're talking purely from a 3-point perspective,
that's the system.
But that's not all of the system. And that's what you're failing
to
realize.
Listen,
this is what you're failing to realize. What I am saying is with Russell Westbrook in the half court, you said that it creates space, and you're 100% right. He can get to the basket way easier than CP could.
Yes.
So now Russ is going to have one-on-one opportunities because who are you leaving on that perimeter? Because Houston has way more shooters than OKC ever had, including when James Harden and Durant were there. Houston has way more shooters, so you're not helping off of nobody. And guess who always helps whenever James Harden gets to the rim? Who helps? The big man. And then what does James Harden do? Lob to Capella. So now you have both of these guys are both pick and roll dynamos. But you have a guy that now when he gets the ball off of a kick out from James Harden, when he puts his head down, who's going to beat him to the rim?
And you said all that, but what did you say earlier before you just said that whole speech? You said they're going to do all this and still get knocked out in the first or second round.
You're damn right.
So then how is that better?
Because or what I'm saying is that the product overall, and that's just me, and I'm partly being cynical just because I don't believe in D'Antoni like that, but the talent is better. And that's the first or second round. That's what they've been doing.
If the talent is... You can't have it both ways. You can't say the talent's better, but the results are going to be the same. Then the talent
outside of them is also better too. The West is better now.
Yeah, you can have it both ways. It can be both. It can be both because there are other factors that lead into that. Mainly D'Antoni. Like if the coach is still the same, they got to get rid of the coach, and maybe they get different results.
Exactly.
Westbrook clearly is an upgrade. I think you would agree with that.
No, I think he is. But I'm talking about team wise.
I'm talking about the fit. Everybody talks about it don't fit, and I'm telling you, I think it fits.
I'm talking about like the Houston team. Like how far can Houston go with Russ and Harden compared to how far they went with Chris Paul and Harden? And you're saying, and we're all assuming the same thing. It's going to be more the same. Second round, okay, that makes sense, but they're not getting to the Western Conference Finals.
But I think it's a lot of D'Antoni. I've known you for the last, 2 years now?
Yeah.
I've known this man over 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And way back when D'Antoni was the Laker coach, same thing I'm saying now is the same thing I said then, and it has not changed. So I know I'm right. I've been proven right for many years on D'Antoni. Great coach, needs his guys, will not win in the playoffs. Not a championship coach. Do you want, a coach? Like D'Antoni is one of those coaches that you bring in right after the rebuild, right? After you get rid of the lame duck coach. You know what I'm saying? The guy that you have to get rid of because his record is so atrocious because he took the rebuild pieces. Then, you finally get some talent. How do you maximize that talent? You go get D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
He shows them how to play with pace. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, he emphasizes shooting and things of that nature. He gets you to a certain place. All right, now we got playoff experience and all this and all that. But we're not going to win no championship. You got to get rid of D'Antoni, bring in a championship-level coach, and now you win. That's how it goes.
Yeah, and I think for me, I think what also will play into their success is the fact that, and I didn't know this, but apparently they're real close. Like,
they are.
They're homies.
Yeah, and that's CP3
and James Harden were not. I think they became close, and that became more of a business relationship.
I think they were just peers, and they just worked together.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, ain't that bad. But then
it's different when you're playing with somebody you like and you respect. Yeah, it's different. And I think CP3's grinding ways because he wants to win so bad.
Well, then let's go on CP3 then. What is his career going to end up now? I mean, it's either – to me, only Miami wants him and is willing to pay for him.
How do we look at Stockton?
Stockton was better than CP, though.
I'm just talking about his career, though.
Stockton was more productive in his career than CP.
I mean, he has played in two finals.
He has.
So, his career overall has been better.
He took Jordan to six. You know
but he mean? Hasn't won a title.
Yeah, he didn't win a title. Yeah.
But he got further than CP.
He got further
than CP.
But I guess, look, I'm not going to knock CP3 for not ever playing in a championship. I'm not.
I am. We knock everybody else. Why are we not knocking? That's the thing.
Who else
y'all be
we
trying
knock?
To come at – And I know I'm the only one that bring up Melo. But y'all be coming at Melo for a lot of stuff. But we don't be saying nothing about CP when they got damn near the same resume.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
But CP3 has managed to adjust.
He's managed to be a politician. That's what they
– No, but even on the court, right? Like, even – like, CP's
and he's
giving
a smaller,
up the ball
and this
lot.
Is the thing. He's, yeah. he's talking about he's a smaller guard,
so you give him a
too.
Handicap then. You're giving him a handicap because he's small.
No, mm-mm. No, because remember what I said in the thread too. Melo's problem is mentality.
Yeah.
CP's problem is not mentality.
I'm just focusing on the career.
If we're just comparing the careers, they're
no, even. No. I'm talking about
one of the greatest point guards to ever play to not play in the finals.
Yep. And Melo's one of the greatest scorers to ever play to
not
play
in the
finals.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest.
But I'm just saying we don't bash. People are just now starting to bash CP when he's been a cancer in the locker room for multiple teams for multiple years.
Okay.
He's caused chemistry issues wherever he's went, no matter what superstar you put him around. So it's just like, at what point you can't say the same thing about Melo? Everybody says Melo was a good teammate. He just wanted to score. Even Billups, Chauncey Billups is like, bro, Melo, like, he was great. He'd go to the practices and everything. He's just he likes scoring.
Yeah, their attitudes are different, but it
CP
still
literally
to
destroyed locker
exactly.
room
same results.
Exactly, it still led to the same results. So it really don't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a good person or you're a horrible person. What is your level of production, and what is the level of production of your team? How valuable are you to your team? Do you come through when you need to come through? Doesn't matter the person. Again, X's and O's versus things outside of the court.
And I think people look at Melo and is like, yo, you should have been one of those guys, and you didn't play up to your level of talent that exactly. you had. CP3 was always supposed to be like a piece. He wasn't going to be Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he a top first round pick?
Pre-injury, yes.
Able to take a team to a championship?
Yeah. The way he came into the league.
Everybody thought he was going to be that dude.
Look. What really slowed him down was the ACL, and it happened early. He didn't have the same level of quickness. Like, he was always crafty. When we first came into the league, bro, like, he could just dart around.
I know, but it always felt like he was going to need the right pieces. Like, he couldn't lead himself. He couldn't lead a team to a championship. That's why him and Blake were, like, the perfect partnership. Yeah, because he needed that.
DeAndre was the problem. And I always said that too.
Yeah.
As much as I love
him. You know, they begged for him back.
Yeah, but.
Kawhi, what do you think about? Yeah.
My quick thoughts on it. I think he stole the offseason with him keeping everything low key. And then for him recruiting multiple superstars in the offseason, nobody knew about anything.
And no backlash for it.
I think no backlash because he showed that he could win on his own with his own team as the head guy. So.
All right.
I mean, that's the only explanation I got. But I think it's a brilliant move. He surprised everyone, and the fact that he got Paul George, like, that's that 1, 2, and 3, Pat Bev, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. Who's scoring on that?
Paul George. Who is scoring on that move, man? Like,
need two bookends as your front court. That's it. Who's scoring on that back court? Nobody.
He settled.
Who? Paul George.
Kawhi Leonard. And Paul George both settled.
I don't think it's settling when you
pick. They wanted to play for the Lakers, bro. They settled for the Clippers.
Why didn't they go to the Lakers?
Opportunity wasn't there.
Nah, there was somebody there that blocked that opportunity.
Who?
LeBron James. They didn't want to play with LeBron. Not want to play with LeBron. Paul George, and I'm going back to this because you first you talked about Paul George is all about the money. Paul George had two times to request where he wanted to go and sign up for, and the Lakers both wanted him, and he said no. I don't even think he took another meeting with them.
I think him going to play with Kawhi is somewhat different.
No, I'm just saying, like, he had a chance to go. They had money. They made Anthony Davis give $4 million. He still can't even get his number. And they made up all this cap space to sign one more max player. And Paul George asked for a trade. He said L.A., but he did not say the Lakers. That means something.
Well, and apparently, I guess Kawhi and Paul George are apparently tight. I didn't know that either.
Nobody knew that either.
So these friends, look, KD, Curry, tight. Westbrook, Harden, tight. Kawhi, PG, tight. I guess these friendships matter, man.
More than the money because Kawhi only signed, what, a 2+1?
Yeah, because
for a little bit over $100 million.
Because you already know what's going to happen. Going to the Lakers. He's going to Lakers. LeBron leaves. That's what he's going to do.
What if LeBron resigned? Then what?
He may still go because LeBron may,
like, he's still young enough. I think he'd still be in good shape to get another, like, 2+1. LeBron could do that.
So, but
to sell tickets at least for the Lakers.
But yeah.
That means nobody's going to Laker town for a minute. LeBron can't recruit
Anthony
again.
Anthony Davis, so they good.
Yeah,
they got
good.
Their star.
They're good. And you know what? Look.
They're trying to be great. That Laker brand is great.
But they are great.
They didn't even make the playoffs last year.
But they're great now. This is not the same team.
You don't even have them coming out the West. Do you have them going to the Western Conference Finals?
I think they're top two. I think they're top two.
Do you have them going in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, it's them and the Clips. I think they're the two best
teams. I don't think they make the Western Conference Finals.
Who's going to put them out?
I think, in my personal opinion, I think Utah, as right now, will put them out.
I'm going to put it to you like this. I don't think Utah has the level of experience to knock out LeBron.
They got two dogs, though. They got two dogs.
No, 100%. And I think they'll push them 7, all of this and all of that. But we've seen it time and time again where – LeBron's presence on the court and how he's able to summon the level of greatness that he needs in the biggest moments is going to overwhelm Utah. Utah don't have nothing for that.
I don't know if you'll get Showtime results, but you definitely got a Showtime roster. Boogie, AD, LeBron.
You got some, but those are mostly aging vets. Boogie, we don't know what he's going to look like. We're
Boogie
hoping.
Gonna be fine. Have you seen Boogie? Like, in the offseason?
I've seen Boogie.
Like, he slimmed. That man looked ready.
He had to slim down because he was
And you
was
know
hurt.
He wasn't healthy last year. So.
I understand that, but when was the last time he was healthy, fully healthy?
Right now.
Yeah, he might be there now. We don't know.
I mean, I'm not trying to poo-poo on Boogie because when he's healthy, he's a Hall of Famer when he's healthy. I just think that we're.
I'm just saying the results are TBD.
We're only talking about LeBron and AD. Everybody else is like it's a coin toss.
No, but
and deservedly so. Yeah. Kawhi and Paul George.
But with the Clippers is guaranteed, and as far as like prime players who are healthy,
they got four guys.
Wait a minute.
Wait. No. The Clippers have four guys that are relatively dominant at their position.
Yes.
Pat Bev is dominantly defensively at his position. Lou Will is a dominant scorer.
Dominant six man.
You talking about he won this shit three times, bro.
No. I'm with you.
And then
Kawhi's the king of the North.
Yep.
He ain't in the North no more.
Yeah, he ain't.
He gave up that.
He gave up the
draft. He John Snow, man. He left.
They took him over the wall.
Yeah, he left.
Yeah, but then you got, you know, PG and Kawhi. So you got four guys. And I told Ken this. Watch Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell's going to start hitting threes,
I think he's the X factor. He's the X factor.
Montrezl, I've seen it with my own eyes.
Kuzi get him.
Nah, bro. All
right, man.
Montrezl Harrell is hitting three. Montrezl Harrell is going to have a big year.
Here's the thing that when I went, whoa. Paul George has a history of injuries. Kawhi Leonard has a history of injuries. And we could say the same thing about Pat Bev. I just object to you saying the healthy part.
But look at what Kawhi Leonard, that type of culture he's bringing. He's bringing load management culture. Everybody talking about – they're talking about shortening the season – again, the gift and curse of Kawhi Leonard.
No, that's not Kawhi Leonard. That's Pop. LeBron.
It's Pop, but I'm saying to see it happen with us, like, look how patient Toronto was with him and look at the result
that
happened.
They were kissing his ass.
Exactly. They only let him play, what, 66 games? LeBron played more games than Kawhi, and he was hurt.
By choice.
So my point is they're going to be fine. They learn from their mistakes.
No, they're going to – give Kawhi everything
they're gonna
he
give
wants.
That whole roster. Like when PG takes his time off, they're gonna give him to him. And same thing with Kawhi.
But we can't ignore the fact that, yeah, the load management thing, 66 games, but his ass was limping through the playoffs, bro. He was limping through the playoffs.
He got the
and
chip.
He got hurt.
He got the chip. That's all that matters.
Nah, I'm not debating the chip, I'm debating the health.
No, yeah, my thing is like once you get through the regular season, then we can go focus on a player. Like KD was hurt was it the regular season or was it the playoffs when he strained the calf?
And KD's gotten hurt the last couple of years,
those
too.
Playoffs. But I think my main point is that once you get through the regular season and manage that, the playoffs, you let whatever happens in the playoffs happen in the playoffs.
But
as long as you're healthy, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
the reason why
LeBron couldn't make it last year.
Yeah, but what would help that? Well, that's why he got AD. But what would help that is, of course, you got Paul George. What would help that is you got Lou Will. So the roster is better with, with obviously a superstar, you know, as your running mate. But – I'm just saying, like, we can't ignore the fact that his shoulder got jacked up last year. He couldn't finish. He couldn't even hit a damn shot last year. So, you know, it happens. Everybody's poo-pooing about LeBron's health. And, shit, that's his first time having a major injury in 16, 17 years. Mm-hmm. And nobody's saying shit about Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, who's been having nicks and cracks.
Injury prone.
Yeah, it is what it is.
We'll see.
Yeah, so but we definitely need to debate about Sam Presti because while I agree with you, he did the right move for the organization. I don't know, man.
You know what's Presti's problem?
He iffy on me.
I got to dip out. But as far as Sam Presti, I'm half and half because remember me and you, FIFA, we was together on it. Like, he's top five GM. He's the best GM for OKC because of all the stuff that he's done for him. But I'm leaning more towards Ken because it's just like you fucked up along the way, though, and it's shown in the franchise and in the success of the franchise. Yeah. So now there is some deserving criticism.
No,
but you
course.
Still flipped it. Of course.
Of
he's
course.
Gotten the
and,
best.
And that's what I'm saying. Like if you – everybody make mistakes on the job. Like, ain't nobody perfect. You know what I'm saying? But can you rectify those mistakes?
He's trying to make up for it.
And I think he's done that time and time again. The only – the biggest mistake Presti has made
– is the Harden.
No, because that's not even all Presti. They didn't want to pay luxury tax, and they just chose wrong. And I don't know if that was Presti's decision, ownership's decision. I don't know, right? So I can't judge Presti solely on that. But to me, it's been the head coaching.
That's
the one thing that I'm just like, he's gotten that wrong too many times.
Yeah, Mark Jackson he needs to. I would love it if when
not yet though. You don't want to make Mark Jackson.
No, not now. I'm just saying like the teams that he had. I think Mark Jackson would have took him a lot further.
I agree.
Especially even the one last year.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well, anyway, Nick has the bounce, man. We just wanted to drop in the feed real quick just to give you guys our thoughts, our reaction to the most recent trade with Westbrook. That's big news. We gave y'all a little bit of something with Kawhi. You hear his thoughts about that. But, yeah, we couldn't go without, you know, jumping in on this. And, like I said, we'll be off for the next couple of weeks, but we will give you some form of content and maybe raw audio recorded with my phone with me and FIFO just sitting around kicking it, or it may be from Chris Platty or any given Sunday. But we'll keep something in your feed for you guys to listen to. And that's going to do it for us. So, man, we'll see you guys around football time unless something else crazy happened. And that's it. We out. Peace.